When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We're having some pretty in-depth discussions, Fred and I, because we have this very important gap hour between...
It's election night planning.
Right. That's what we're doing. We're planning election night. Mainly, we're planning what we're going to eat after the show before 7 o'clock, because Lamping's coming in here at 7, and we're going to take you to probably, I'm guessing, around 10 o'clock or so. The results won't be final. Like, for example, St. Louis County results, Rick Stream was estimating about 9:30. Look, they're pretty good around here. It's not like California where it's going to take... years. Now, when it comes to the statewide totals, you know, that's a little different. So we'll have to see if you have an indication of how things might go. Look, you can, and I've been in this situation before, sometimes you see the absentee voting or the early voting when they start counting those ballots. You can get a pretty good indication of, you know, which way an election is going. Sometimes it certainly depends on where the votes are coming from, you know, whether it's North St. Louis County or West County. So we'll keep an eye on the county executive race, the St. Charles County executive race, what's happening in Michigan, the amendments here in Missouri. I mean, Fred, do you think for Missouri, even though we'll have Amendment 3 in November, we'll have congressional races, but this might be a bigger day for us than November.
Oh yeah, it should be
in this state, right?
All the races should be
are going to be decided. Steve Butz's race with Gina Mitten, that's one we'll focus on tonight. So there's a lot of stuff, and
St. Louis County executive race could be up in the air.
Who do you think will do that? Who will get it in the executive race?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think most people that I talk to right now, which is interesting because if you would have asked them this question 3 months ago. Certainly a year ago, Brian Williams was the prohibitive favorite. They feel like maybe Jake Zimmerman has the advantage now. So I don't have a feel for it. You know, somebody think on the show asked me yesterday, or maybe it was the roundtable, what I'm seeing where I live, and I don't know about you guys, and I was at your house, Sue, I didn't really notice a lot of signs. Where I live in the Fenton area, there's not a lot of signs for anything. Like, you wouldn't even know there's a St. Louis County executive race going on, because yeah. I don't see any... signs for either of the candidates, right?
I have a neighbor who's got the sign for the prosecutor in St. Louis County.
For Melissa?
Yeah, yeah. And that's about all I've seen.
Right. It's weird. You know, and I think part of it is because we all come from an era where, you know, the media was very, very limited when it came to ad. You would advertise in the newspaper, you take a billboard out, you have campaign signs, you have radio and TV, that's it, right? Well, that's different now because all those dollars are spread across digital platforms. And what they can achieve, you know, some of this is really interesting, Sue, because you can go in and determine whether or not a family, like you and Michael are at home and he's watching something upstairs and you're watching something downstairs, they're going to micro-target you based on what your viewing habits are and all these things. The science of this, you know, even beyond the polling with politics, not that it's exact because they get things wrong, but it really is fascinating. And it, unfortunately, it hurts traditional legacy media outlets like us because they spread those dollars around. You know, it's just what happens.
In South City, if you drive down Loughborough, between 55 and Morgan Ford. You see a ton of signs.
Mostly butts.
Steve Butts.
Yeah. On the Shane park side or on the people's homes?
Either
side?
One.
Oh,
either
really?
One. Yeah, but it's because Steve lives down there.
Right. And a lot of Shane Cohn signs, too, for
yeah,
the city.
Yeah.
He's the alderman for that area? I didn't know. I don't think I knew that.
Well, he isn't, but he must be trying to be.
Oh.
Well, that's
right?
What's confusing to me. Is he running for alderman, or is he running for Steve's house seat? See, that's maybe where I'm confused.
Oh, because we have an alder person who lives down there, and it's a she.
Yeah, that's never been Shane Cohn's district, so I bet that's what you should look that up. I didn't even think about that, Steve's house district, because he term limited out, so... That's a different race altogether. Okay, a couple things I want to throw in a plug for here this afternoon. We've got Sue's News coming up here in just a few minutes. After that,
You know what? Sorry. He is, he's a member of the board of aldermen. The line must go right down it because he's Boulevard Heights. So, yeah.
Oh, so he is running for re-election for the board
his
of aldermen.
His current term is supposed to not end until 2029,
I'm very confused. Like, I think he's running for the House.
He must be.
We should probably text Steve and just find out. We're going to sound really stupid here. People have probably already texted me saying, Mark, you should know this. You're stupid.
Oh,
if I had to guess, let's see if we have any of those. Not yet, but they'll come in any minute now and tell me. Tim Sommer has his book. Tim has become a great friend, not only to the show, but to me personally. Even though we've never met, I'm not sure we'll ever meet. He lives in Connecticut. But he's such a fascinating guy when it comes to his history in the music industry, which started when he was like 15 years old writing for a music publication 45 years ago. And then he worked at MTV. He worked in the record business. He signed Hootie and the Blowfish, helped them become an international phenomenon. And he's written for a lot of different outlets as well. So he has a book out that is in the stores today. We had him on about 10 days ago for a preview. I know he's real busy with it right now. It's called Dispatches from the Kingdom of Outsiders, Writing on Music, Culture, and More, 2025.
And when he was on with you at that time, he told this great story about, I can't think of who the group was. They invited him back to their hotel room.
It was U2?
Play some music, some songs.
Yeah, well, this is a collection. And one of the things that Tim said is you don't have to really read it in order. You can look at the chapters. And one of them, and I remember talking to him about this, when Weezer put out that cover of Toto's Africa, he hated it so much. So here's one of the chapters. Weezer's Africa is the most repugnant pop recording of all time. The story that he shares about being in this hotel room with Bono and The Edge giving Tim and his friend Mike a private concert, that's kind of amazing. He remembers the glory days with MTV News and the meaning of MTV. He plays kind of an important role, or he's even featured in the new REM documentary that's out there. Tim has a little news clip when he was interviewing someone from REM. So there's really all these stories that he's written over the course of many, many years. And one thing I like about Tim, look, we don't agree on everything. He's very opinionated when it comes to music. I've turned him around maybe on a couple of things, you know, that he's not liked, but we've had great conversations. But again, I think that he is a really, really good rock journalist, and I've read some of the chapters of the book, and I know some of them because he shared that with us. Again, that's called Dispatches from the Kingdom of Outsiders, Tim Sommer. You can order that on Amazon. Last week on Thursday, I think it was Thursday, I want to mention this because we're going to start giving attention to it. I kicked off a listener trip to Croatia, and it is going to be amazing. A lot of fun. Mike Kenny is my guy from Define Destinations. Mike and I have known each other maybe 13, 14 years. We've traveled many times. He used to be with a company called Holiday Vacations. And he kind of started doing things on his own. And I'll tell you that, like, right after the pandemic, I started seeing, you know, pictures that he would share from Croatia. And I told him from the very beginning when we started doing some business again and wanted to travel that that was on my list. The first trip we took with listeners, some of you might have been along, was to Spain 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago at this point, and then last year to Greece. So this is going to be May 25th through June 5th. It's a 12-day trip in May of next year through Croatia. It is a 36-passenger yacht, if you will. So this is going to max out at 36 people. It's going to sell out. We just need 17 couples because Becky and I will be amongst them. Maybe only 16 because Mike too. So it's really, really cool. If you go to DefineDestinations.com or if you go to my Twitter X, I've heard some people calling it Twitter X, and I like that, Fred, or X Twitter, something like that. Twitter X. If you go to Twitter X, you know how you can pin things at the top? I've done that. I've pinned the details of the trip. You could also link, like I said, to DefineDestinations.com. It's just an incredible trip, and we're going to, you know, start talking about it. We'll be in Zagreb, and then we get on this ship, and we start touring all around Croatia. A lot of food experiences. Really, really, really fun. So I hope that some of you will consider traveling with me next May and Define Destinations. Now, one thing on entertainment that I want to mention here before we get to Sue's news is I have wrapped the Idaho murders documentary on Netflix, and I thought it was really good. And, you know, it's one of those things. I understand completely why some of you out there would not want to watch something like this, because it's so sick and twisted. Yes. And I think that some of us have this pretty weird fascination with true crime, and this is one of those cases that's kind of grabbed us. And I think this was executed extremely well, and I'm very critical sometimes of documentaries. One of the things that happens with Netflix in particular, and I think HBO Max and some of the others, is they take a topic and they stretch it into three episodes when it should be an 80-minute documentary. Ooh. In this case, they don't do this. And one of the things I loved about it is they don't really talk about Brian Koberger a lot. He's not the focus. It's the girls, the boyfriend who was killed, Ethan Chapin, and the victims, the families. And, you know, they even said, the director of the film even said, we would have not wanted to mention him at all, honestly. And you know how I have a practice of, with the serial killers or the mass murders, I don't like to mention the shooters at all. So this is called The Idaho Murders, College Nightmare. And you really focus on the victims, Madison Bogan, Kaylee Goncalves. It's a little hard to pronounce her name. It's like Gonzalez, but it's Goncalves. Ethan Chapin and Zanna Kernodle, her sister is really good. Zanna's sister here and a couple of people that are featured in the documentary are outstanding. I would say that the hero is Olivia Goncalves, who is the sister of Kaylee, the older sister. She's the one that when they did the sentencing of Koberger a year ago was really in his face, and it was amazing. We played some of the audio from that. But
did
here's
you
what
learn
I would say.
Anything?
Yeah, learned a lot.
Okay.
But I also didn't learn a lot. And here's what I will tell you. I felt like there was a lot of new information, and you are given pieces of 911 calls and some of the body cam stuff from what was happening. I mean, this police department was in way over their heads. They had a call in the state. They knew that from the beginning. Everyone was very confused. It's a small town. But here's what I'll tell you was not answered, and it's the main mystery from all this. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Brian Koberger did this, right? Two things. Remember how we were confused about the plea? And Paul Morrow even said, look, a lot of times you do this because you don't know if you can make the case. And our reaction is like, how can you not make the case? What you learn from this documentary is there is very little evidence. Mm. He wanted to create the perfect crime suit.
Yeah, he did.
He came very close.
Wow.
Very close. So you can actually see if something happens with this plea and they have to go to trial, there is not a lot of physical evidence. And there might be risk there for a reasonable doubt. Again, I have no doubt that the guy did it. I don't think anyone with half a brain, but it doesn't matter because you just need reasonable doubt. But the biggest question remains the window between 4 a.m. and noon. They did not make the 911 call for 8 hours, even though one of the surviving roommates saw him in the house. That is not explained. Not explained at all. Only from the standpoint that the cops were saying, look, this is confusing time. Maybe there was alcohol involved overnight. They don't really explain that. And I don't know if we're ever going to understand that. Maybe if this thing comes back with him, you know, withdrawing the plea. But I would recommend that documentary. It's pretty...
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast
for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Pretty good. Oh my goodness, we gotta get the Suze News. We're running just a little late, so without further ado.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not gonna comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Suze News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, which Fred will love.
Oh, yeah. My favorite day.
Mark, do you make the chocolate chips?
Major fail. Look, I wanted to make these for last week when we had dinner at your house, and I didn't get around to it. But I need to start getting off the cookie schneid. I will tell you that right now.
Yes, come on.
And I told you I lost my favorite recipe, but I'm going to have ChatGPT or Gemini help me.
Yeah, they'll find it for you.
I know they will.
It's also National Coast Guard Day. And 236 years ago today, in 1790, the present-day Coast Guard began as the Revenue Cutter Service. That's what it was called. But the 1700s, come on, that's impressive. Wow. And 104 years ago today, think about the fact that we carry around a phone in our purse/pocket. In 1922, AT&T and the Bell Systems shut down all of their switchboards in memory of Alexander Graham Bell, who had died 2 days earlier. They had 13 million telephones in the U.S. and Canada, and they went absolutely dead for 1 minute in his honor.
Isn't that interesting? That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, and we have come so far in just over 100 years.
So it's funny. Becky was over. Her aunt lives here in town, and she was over at her aunt's house the other day, and her aunt had two phones that were probably... one of them was an original iPhone, I think. I think
wow.
we determined
wow.
it was like the iPhone 3. And the other was like this little flip phone that had to be from the early 2000s. And those, like even the early iPhone, it was so small.
Tiny.
We thought it was big, but then when the big ones started coming out.
Yeah. Would you like to go back to the small phones or no?
Do men like
the big ones, Fred? No?
No, I think I'm at a medium. I don't have one of the bigger ones.
I love the bigger screen. I got used to it, so I really like it a lot.
Well, I guess you just, as long as you could put it in your pocket, it doesn't have to fit in there, but you can carry it around. All right. 39 years ago in 1987, the soundtrack that you will hear right here was released.
Do you really have to do this to me
just
here today?
Just briefly.
I'm not sure that I want to go down this rabbit hole. Actually, I don't mind the song as much as the movie.
Song.
Yeah. It is a pretty good song.
It is.
It's just the movie that gets, you know.
It's fair.
I've never really gone back too much. I think I've seen it maybe three times, that movie. It's been a while, though, since
Dirty
I've seen
Dancing,
it.
1987. Okay, you guys.
That was Jen Gray pre-nose job, too,
correct.
Wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah, she looks like a different person.
She looks good, though. I don't always like nose jobs, but I think she looked good both ways.
I
okay?
agree.
That's
I think
what
I'd she
say.
Looks. I think she looked fine beforehand.
Right.
Okay. There is a country singer named Chase Matthew, and I was unaware of him, but he is getting absolutely torched for his cover of AC/DC's Back in Black. One person called it, quote, legitimately one of the worst things ever. Okay, and we're going to play just a little
okay,
of it.
Okay, now I have not heard this yet, so
here we go.
Back in Black, I hit the city. I have you know I'm glad to be back. Yes, I'm lit loose.
It sounds like a cover band that was doing this,
yes!
you know,
oh,
somewhere at a
yes.
bar. That doesn't sound very good.
And at the beginning, is this sack weird? I don't know. I don't like any of it. It's terrible. But
the people love it, though.
They do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's very good. No, I don't like that.
It's terrible, but it's a palate cleanser after Dirty Dancing if you need it. And in better country news, we have Zac Brown Band, and they performed at Fenway on Sunday night and surprised everyone in the crowd with a free cruise. Here's the sound.
So he out-Oprah'd
yes!
Oprah.
I'm buying every single person here a cruise for two people on the boat. Every single person here gets a cruise for themselves and a loved one to go on the boat.
I mean, how crazy is that, right?
Well, it is, except when you find out that he actually has a partnership with the cruise line and co-designed the live music venue, and it's all on the Beachcomber ship. And
yeah, but
it's
great. Who cares, right?
Margaritaville at Sea's new boat, Beachcomber. Well, I assume he's not paying $40 million
for
it.
No, he's not.
But,
but it doesn't matter.
I mean, wait a minute. Didn't Oprah give away cars?
I don't know if she gave cars
I think that's more
away,
expensive than a cruise.
She did give away cars.
Yes.
Okay. But I guess her audience
is
smaller.
35,000
That's right.
There.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you could be at the top of Fenway Park, and all of a sudden you pay like that, and all of a sudden Zach Brown's giving you a cruise. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Well, that's true. Of course, it could be like one weekend, and they try to sell you condos, but maybe not. Maybe
well,
not.
That would not shock me.
Yeah, see, that's just kind of what I was thinking.
I'll tell you what, though. Zach Brown, man, he has not been shy this year. He's maybe been a little overexposed, but he's got a really, really cool intro for Sunday Night Baseball, kind of like what Carrie Underwood does for football. So Zach's out there churning out his songs and his, I guess, his business acumen as well.
Okay, they do say that it is valued at more than $40 million, and it is the largest surprise audience gift in live entertainment history. So I take it all back. You're right. Oprah did cars, but her audience was smaller.
Right.
All right, Amazon's stock went up, and on Monday hit a market value of $3 trillion. For the first time ever.
You know why that is? I bought that $6 flashlight.
I knew it!
That's what put him over the top.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this makes it the fifth company to do so. Can you name
Microsoft?
Yes.
Apple?
Yes.
Ooh, gosh. Google? Or is that Microsoft?
Well, it's Alphabet.
Okay.
And that owns Google and YouTube
Meta.
And Waze. And no, and NVIDIA. Is
oh,
the
NVIDIA,
other one.
The chip maker, yeah.
But $3 trillion, pushed over the edge by Mark's flashlight. According to a new report, the average American spends $397 on summer activities every weekend. Now, does that...
No way.
Here's what they say. That's the stuff you're doing, which can really add up. Now, not your basics, not your mortgage, on stuff you're doing. Here's how they break it down. Dining out, which is the most expensive, which they say is $61. That's not many people.
No, that's two.
I mean,
that's two people.
Exactly. Hosting gatherings is another $60, or bringing stuff to someone else's. Attending celebrations and gifts, weddings and birthday. Entertainment, $57, like movie theaters or concerts. Again, way low if you're going to a concert. Outdoor activities, if you want to go boating or camping or anything like that.
Well, when you throw gas prices involved, that you know maybe the number's not that off.
Well,
look,
that could be.
$70 to fill your tank or you know $60 to fill your tank, that's going to play into it too. If you got a family of four and you're going out to dinner, even at some place that's in theory cheap, it's going to add up.
It is. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. The least financially successful Harry Potter movie made about $90 million more than the most successful Twilight movie.
Yeah, there's a little nugget for you. Chew on that.
Yeah. Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes, It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, so I'm pretty excited about tonight because I love election night coverage. Former Senator Lamping's coming in, and I feel like even though I'm in the studio with you right now, the visual that I have, and maybe I can even smell this a little bit, the green room here at 97.1 FM Talk is going to be stocked with food and beverages, and it's going to be just...
That's...
No, I don't think anyone thought about us again. We sometimes get, like, pizzas as a, hey, we'll throw you a pizza. I don't even think I get that. So I have to figure out how to get some food after 6 o'clock. I have between 6 and 7 to manage this. I don't want to go down to the Schnucks because I might get stabbed. So I may
just
have to drive
Rosalita's.
Somewhere.
I looked up your Euro. Euro Express is closed till 10:30 tomorrow.
I don't like that. That's not good at all. Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention, just because it's an incredible number. Did you know Spider-Man already crossed the $1 billion? Dollar mark at the box office globally?
I had a story in yesterday I didn't get to that said it was close.
Yeah, it's so, past $1 billion.
Wow.
And it's not that good. I mean, I might have liked it better than The Odyssey, though, now that I think about it. All right, we mentioned the election coverage tonight. We're going to start at 7, likely go till 10. Scott Faughn is with us, the host of This Week in Missouri. He's been doing his Ford F-150 tour around the state. I know you stopped here in St. Louis, but I couldn't see you that day, could I? We were doing something else. How are you?
I'm good, but if you're going to have John in, you got to stock some hair gel in there, right? I mean,
well, between
the
two of us,
the guy with the best hair in all Missouri politics, you got to take care of him.
You know, and do you know why he might have the best hair in Missouri politics? Because he goes to the same woman who cuts my hair upon my recommendation. He's not stupid. Lamping knows who I'm going to model his hair after is mine. Faughn, give me a credit here. You think that he did that on his own? There's no way.
I did.
No, I have a role in everything.
Did. Well, I'm glad to know now.
I have a role in everything. There's no doubt about that. I have this feeling, Scott Faughn, this is not going to be the best night for Mike Kehoe with the amendments.
I think that's right. I mean, look, I will tell you this. I very much respect someone that's trying to take on the real issues in this state. I mean, look, I understand a lot of folks would, you know, love the guns, love the abortion. Let's pick on the trans if you can, all that. I get it. And those things are important to the people they're important to. But in reality, all those things are better if the state grows. And we live in a state that does not grow. And as a person, I mean, I don't put on the show where, oh, I have no opinions, and then one day I become a columnist and you found out I'm a socialist or whatever. I've always been a Republican.
Wait, you're talking about Tony Messenger, I think, there, right?
you kind of
described his career path anyway. I just thought of that. Go ahead.
There's a whole crew of them there in your new media family that way. But in all seriousness, I think if you point a finger, you have to point the finger at the Republicans. The place doesn't grow. And I'm a little pessimistic about tonight as well, but I will tell you this. I would rather see a guy trying to fix the real problems. Mike Kehoe could have just went and passed a bunch of guns and abortion bills and done nothing to address the real problems and been fine. He didn't need to do this. We're stagnant. We're not falling off a cliff. But he actually tried to do something bold. If I know John, he probably doesn't like anything. But this is the kind of thing that I think if John Lamping were governor, he would try to do. At least try to address this problem. Now, the way they did it, you know, you can always criticize, and I think probably fairly in some ways, the way this plan was laid out. But in reality, I love the fact that someone's trying to address the real problems. That's my children's future is on the line here. Where they live and grow up, how much I get to see them and their kids. These are the real things that affect our state, and kudos to the governor for actually trying to address real things when he could have just done the distraction disco like a lot of Republican politicians do.
I agree with you on that, and that's the reason that I voted for it and I support it. Now, I will tell you this. I was out to dinner with someone who is a big supporter of this last night, and that's Rex Singfield, and he made it very clear. I think Rex is aware that this isn't going to go well as well. He's a realist, but he also said this is not going away, and he's going to continue to push for getting rid of the income tax. And one of the reasons that we talked about this last night, and it's important because you mentioned kids. Look, I have two children that are in their 20s. They do not live here in the St. Louis Angeles area. One is in Chicago, one's in Houston. I mean, if you're young and you want to do big cities, that's probably the time to do it. But we were talking about this last night in terms of the appeal that St. Louis and Missouri has for younger people out there when it comes to the standard of living. And you know this, Scott, buying a house here in Dogtown or in South St. Louis, something like that, it's still possible to get a decent house at a relatively acceptable price. I mean, prices aren't what they used to be, but you can't do that in Chicago. You can't do that in big cities in Houston. I think my son in Houston recognizes that. You put on top of that zero income tax for workers that, you know, might be in tech, making a fair amount of money. That's going to be an appeal that is going to help Missouri grow. So the issue is not going away, even if it fails tonight. That I can tell you 100%.
And listen, Greg Singville, the one thing that some folks in the sales media can still do, I'm not pointing the finger again, but they can't demonize someone. And I don't really know Rick Singfield that well. I did not have dinner with him last night. Just as I had dinner at High Street Pub, or actually at Dave's in town.
I'm an elitist, Scott. You know that. I'm an elitist, right? So
I know. Well, yeah, the hair gives it away.
Right, exactly.
But look, Rick Singfield, I don't know him. I don't know. I mean, I met him. I don't even know if he would know who I am. I doubt he would. The guy doesn't get anything out of this stuff. He shells out this money because he truly believes it's better for the state. That is, to me, I give a guy like that a lot of credit. Now, and I'll tell you this, if he's still going to stay involved in politics, politicians are going to want to know what he thinks and are going to want to support what he thinks so they can further their careers. It's just the truth. Rick Singfield makes opinions, and you could say it's because of the money, and I would say, duh, of course. But he is an opinion maker. The guy is a smart dude. He built a lot of wealth. And the one thing I'll say, I understand he has his critics. If you don't like his ideas, you know, debate his ideas, but that's not the world we live in, and I'm not trying to be naive. I'll say this though, none of this stuff he gets anything out of. Truly thinks. I've not agreed with all of his ideas either, by the way, but you can't say he's doing it for himself. And that puts him in a different world than a lot of folks.
He's passionate about this. He cares about St. Louis. That's why he wants to get rid of the earnings tax as well. And that effort's not going to stop either. All right. Do you have a handle on – I want you to kind of maybe mention some of the races that could be important across the state outside of the amendments. Look, we got a hot one here in the St. Louis area, as you know, between Steve Butts, who is term limited out, and on the House side, who is going to the Senate. Potentially Gina Mitten is his opponent. She's a former House member. She's making it all about abortion. The so-called experts tell me that Steve's in trouble. He's a friend. He's a roundtable participant. But is Gina Mitten going to win that race tonight, Scott? What's your thoughts?
Well, there's not a finer person I know than Steve Butts. I'll give you my theory on all these globally. If there's a two-way race or three-way race and it's close on the Republican side, go for the person with the loudest, craziest, angriest, will say the dumbest things they can think of. They have a major advantage. On the Democrat side, you go for who has the best case to be a victim. Who is the most disadvantaged? In this case, I think Gina Mitten probably can lay claim to being a little more disadvantaged on the liberal scale of victimhood. And I think she's got an advantage because of that. If the race is as close, on the whichever Republican can convince the voters they're the stupidest person in the race has a legitimate advantage on Election Day. On the Democrat side, it's whoever can convince the voters they're the biggest victim. And I do think Gina might have a better case.
Are there other – I'm not as dialed into the particulars of the House and Senate races. We have some ads that are running here. I know there's one that's pretty hot in St. Charles. Are there other races that you're kind of looking at tonight in this area?
I'm interested to see – I think a lot of the next 10 years of St. Louis County gets decided tonight. Are you going to be forward-thinking and go with a younger – African-American politics. I mean, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. From the outside looking in, lots of St. Louis's problems are race relations. Whether those are perceived or real or whatever, I don't live there. I think Brian Williams is a transformational potential leader. I think he would be the kind of person that could bring state resources to bear. I think the kind of guy that could actually maybe get St. Louis, help them get on one page, which would be great for the state. I'm a hick, and the fact is, when we get free cheese, I want to thank you all for paying for part of it. That's just a fact, and to deny it is just a lie. Brian Williams is the kind of guy that could make St. Louis more successful. This state cannot succeed until St. Louis figures things out. I have a feeling they may opt to go with some left-wing, just goofy statement making. I mean, if you like your property taxes, which I guess folks, here's my beef with y'all. You're going to vote to elect your assessor.
I don't get that.
Jack your property taxes up. crazy. Then you're going to come to Jeff City and say, hey, fix this.
I know.
And
it's baffling.
Republicans say, you fix it. Stop voting for this stuff.
Well, I'm with you on that. And look, I'll be honest. I've told the audience this. I wanted to vote in the executive race. Dennis Hancock is going to be the Republican nominee. I pulled a Democrat ballot today, and I voted for Senator Williams. So, you know, you have the option to do that. I chose to get involved in that race because I think he's a better candidate than Jake. And I, you know, maybe this is my fear, Scott. I will tell you this because, and you and I have known each other for a long time. We know a lot of the same people. There have been people that I've pinned my hopes on politically. And unfortunately, Eric Greitens is the exhibit A for this, that I really believed in, that I thought would be transformational, that I thought had ideas, that wasn't just someone who was trying to, you know, get to the next position. Brian has convinced me that he's someone who truly is interested in solving problems. But I'm still taking kind of a guess on that because politicians let you down a lot.
Oh, listen, you know, if anybody thought solving St. Louis's problems was easy, you know, give me a break. It is wildly complicated. It's a very tough job. St. Louis is a complicated place. The fact is, we're all in this together. And I have personally tried to change some of my tone about St. Louis because when the governor took over the police department, you know, it's time we're in this together. I think there's a fundamental question St. Louis has to answer for itself. Do you want to try to move forward? Do you want to try to put things together to improve the, or do you just want to fight? And St. Louis, frankly, looks like a mess that just wants to fight. And you have two choices here. You could elect a guy that's doing shady deals with politicians and all his other, you know, I don't really know Jake Zimmerman that well, but, you know, he served in the legislature. He didn't leave with a great reputation here. The campaign he's ran, pulling sides. I mean, it's just, you're going to have more of this same mess. And I don't know that Brian could do it because I don't know enough about it to know if it could be done. But I believe you have a chance as a younger person to turn the page. Or you could just keep wallowing in the same mess. And if I had to guess, St. Louis will go St. Louis tonight.
Unfortunately, you might be right. We may toss you on during the coverage tonight, Scott, but I appreciate you jumping on with me this afternoon.
Love to visit with you, bud. Right. Talk to you later.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I did something, Sue, this summer that I haven't done probably since 1999 or 2000.
What?
I did not for 1 minute. Like, I mean, I didn't for 1 minute watch the Tour de France. And I love the Tour de France, but it just,
I watched a minute.
It got away from me, and yeah. I just never saw any of it, and there wasn't any drama. But some people don't know. You know, there's a female version of this, right? There's the female Tour de France, and that's going on right now. Are you familiar with the cheating scandal that is going on?
No.
So this is fascinating. I've never heard about this before. We know, and by the way, I'll admit, because I was one that certainly that was in denial about Lance Armstrong for a long time and defended
me too.
Him. But I'll also say that my interest in cycling and watching the Tour was much more fun when they were all cheating.
Yes.
And they were all cheating. It was kind of like the baseball thing, which doesn't even upset me that much because, again, they were all cheating. So there's a guy who's written about this for Barstool Sports, and he even says, which is funny, because you understand cycling. A lot of people don't. He starts the thing by saying, I don't understand how a sport where one person is declared the winner is somehow a team event. Well, the reason is because you have riders that are surrounding you, protecting you. They're helping you in sprints, gain advantage. They're helping you in climbs by, you know, leading you out and all this stuff. It is a team sport. But again, he says, I don't get why the person who doesn't cross the finish line first is the champion because it's all based on time, right? Yeah. I don't have the time right now to explain how cycling works. We'll have a good example of this with the Gateway Cup that comes into St. Louis in a few weeks. But here's the controversy. It's because the women are faking their breast size and their cup size.
What?
So the Tour de France Femmes is well underway, and Stage 4's individual time trial set to mark an early benchmark in the general classification. However, some teams have issued a plea to the race to enforce a UCI rule for an unexpected reasons. Riders faking their breast size in the time trial.
Whoa.
I'm going to explain.
Okay.
Several women's teams have reportedly reached out to officials to enforce this regulation on placing items to exaggerate their cup size during the race against the clock. By doing so, riders can gain better aerodynamic advantage that could equate to as high as 0.78 seconds per kilometer. Now, that might not sound a lot, but in a time trial and in a sport where seconds actually matter, it absolutely is an
Wait,
issue.
I don't get it. So they fake it. They say that it's big, that they're bigger than they are. And how does that actually help
them? I don't really
them?
Understand that, because what he says is it's the racers with the biggest breasts. The large busted competitors can't simply pad their bras for the trials. They lose their curves for the actual race. So, I mean, you're going to have to tell me I don't have breasts that are large. The 3% difference, 3.6%, in resistance their mama gave them is there throughout every turn of the pedals, every rotation of the tires. They can't peel it off and stuff it back in their suitcase once the trials are over. So they were calling it like anti-large breast discrimination. The bigger your cannons are, the more it hurts your chances.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But so, why would I fake it if it's going to be worse for me? So I say that I'm larger and then I take all the stuffing out when I do a time trial and I'm suddenly faster.
I'm not sure if I completely understand
it.
So it says a lot of the teams have called for the rules enforcement of the Grand Tour with artificially manipulating clothing sizes or shapes prohibited. The report states that the practice has been seen multiple times in recent months and years in time trials. According to the regulations, placing objects on the chest is prohibited. So in other words, they're putting something that is going to, give them, it's going to fit their bra size, and it's going to press them down a little bit more, where then the airflow is different, and then it creates this measurable, if not very small,
sure,
measurable benefit over the course of multiple kilometers. And again, it doesn't seem like that's a lot, but it adds up over the course of a long race.
Yes.
The guy who wrote this for Barstool says, as more of a breast aerodynamics buff myself, I concur with his findings, even if I concede that much more extensive research needs to be done. But he says it's the racers with the biggest breasts. They can't pad their bras for the trials, and then they lose their curves. So that's what happens. I'd never heard of this before in my life.
They can't pad their bras for the finals. But if I... Not
well, in other words,
breasted.
they're wearing a kit, right?
Yes.
So the kit does not have, you're not wearing a bra under the kit. It basically serves, I think, as more of a sports bra. That's
right.
That's kind of my understanding.
But so then why is anybody faking it?
Because then with...
It is more aerodynamic. They just said it wasn't. So I don't get it.
Okay. I think the bottom line here is we don't understand what's happening with the Women's Tour de France, but they're asking the jury to enforce these rules that Sue and I still don't understand.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.